is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China. The ambitions of the People's Republic of China to be the number one economy and military power in the 21st century. Funny thing happens on the way to the White House. You run into a supply chain holdup, and why? I welcome Jack Burnham of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to help me in a story he and his colleagues have posted most recently about decision of the Trump administration's Commerce Department and Treasury Department to look very carefully at the supply chain and the entity list and say, Jack, a very good evening to you. What is the entity list that makes even major CEOs of major corporations freeze in their step? Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me. The entity list is Commerce's way of identifying companies that threaten U.S. national security and imposing a series of export restrictions on them. So companies, entities, individuals that find themselves on the entity list are faced with a slew of different restrictions on what they can purchase from the United States. And likewise, American exporters, American CEOs, find themselves having to comply with rules about needing licenses before they can sell certain components to listed firms.
This just happened. We're not looking at old news. It happened at the end of September, and its significance is going to play out over a great amount of time. So we're looking at, in theory, what it represents. You have business with an entity list, and there's some rules here about the scale of your business and who owns what. It's about the supply chain of our adversaries, and we can name them. That would be Moscow and Beijing. To your knowledge, Jack, has this been looked at before September 30th, say, in the first Trump administration or in the Biden administration or in the first months of the Trump administration? Is this the first time we've seen this?
So I certainly think that in some ways this rule is a culmination of a variety of different efforts to restrict exports to China, Russia, also Iran in there as well, looking at drone components. Across the first Trump administration into the Biden administration, export controls became an increasing way of restricting the flow of components, particularly into China and into Russia, to be used in their military industrial bases. So in some ways, this rule is quite new, but in other ways, it's really building on a long-term desire to use tools of economic statecraft like sanctions, tariffs now being an example, and export controls try and limit the flow of particularly American components into military modernization efforts launched by both Beijing and Moscow. So while there's something new here and something substantial, at the same time, it also represents a much longer term vision of how the United States should go around combating its foremost adversaries.
Yes, this is sanctions with a bite. Jack, I need some background. What is the Treasury Department's 50% rule, and what is the Commerce Department's common high priority list? And what does it mean putting them together?
Sure. So the Commerce, to start with Treasury first, Treasury's 50% rule means that, let's say you have a Chinese company that's sanctioned. Any subsidiary that it owns more than a 50% share of will also be sanctioned. And so the idea is not only to sanction a particular entity or company, but also to sanction its subsidiaries that may act under that company's control and direction. The reason why this matters and how this is being moved over to the Commerce Department is previously a company or entity on the entity list was legally distinct from any of its subsidiaries. So simply because a Chinese or Russian firm was named to the entity list doesn't mean that all of its subsidiaries would also be named to the entity list, and their subsidiaries can continue to buy restricted components. Now, with the way that the rule is structured, you see a parallel structure between the way that commerce works in terms of how it restricts exports to subsidiaries of listed firms. And you see that parallel in the Treasury's way of applying sanctions. So it's ensuring this parallel synchronous structure that makes both tools, both sanctions and export controls, far stronger and more effective than they would have been either independently or otherwise.
And the common high priority list, that's also directed at Moscow?
Yes, the common high priority list is directed at Moscow. And really the design of the common high priority list is stemming the flow of particular components that Russia has been using to continue its war efforts. Obviously, at the beginning of the war, there was a concerted effort between the United States and its European allies and partners, and even Indo-Pacific allies and partners, to place really stringent sanctions on Russia as a way of isolating it from the global economy. And the Common High Priority List is essentially another component of that sanctions regime, looking to particularly choke off the types of components that Russian armored factories, you know, Russian tanks, missiles need to continue to find their way to the front lines and strike Ukrainian positions.
When it comes to China, I do not believe it's true in Russia. Everything is both military and civil at the same time. So how do you tell the difference, or do you bother to tell the difference?
That's an important question. I think that's a question that's increasingly being grappled with this administration. You know, China since 2007 has had a policy of military-civil fusion, in which you have nominally civilian private firms being compelled by the CCP to collaborate with China's defense industrial base, particularly on projects of high importance, things like artificial intelligence, precision targeting capabilities, and even lower level things like construction, land use reform, really even small things. And so I would say that this process, while it had certainly a long-term basis, has continued to grow. And I think one of the best examples of that is looking at the Chinese military parade that was recently held at the beginning of September. You saw the Chinese military unveil new capabilities, some of whose components came from leading nominally civilian Chinese tech firms. So this policy has been long ongoing. It's certainly been increasing, and the CCP and the PLA have been willing to show off more of those partnerships. And so finding, for an enforcement perspective, finding that balance has been increasingly difficult. And this rule is a way of attempting to untie some of those thornier issues around civilian and military companies, particularly in the Chinese context.
To your knowledge, is there transparency in a supply chain? Say the end product is guidance for a missile. That's got a lot of components on the way that may or may not be immediately military. And it may or may not be components that, say, come from Europe. I don't want to talk about America. I'll talk about Europe. And they may or may not know they're part of this supply chain. Is that all to be discovered now that the rule is in place? All this information has to be found out?
I certainly think there will be a process of discovery. I think a perfect example of that is, for example, cracking open Russian missiles launched at Ukraine and finding a variety of different microelectronics components coming from a variety of different countries, including some European countries. So clearly there are firms that are not intending to engage in this type of supply chain. But this is where the concept of dual use components come in, of components that both have a civilian use, whether those be in a freezer or a smart fridge or your television being used for weapons of war. And so this desire of how to stem the flow of dual-use goods is really at the heart of things like the Common High Priority List, of really this desire to crack down on this type of flow. And so, yes, I think certainly as enforcement grows, that those supply chains hopefully do become more unraveled as more transparency and more attentiveness is paid to some of these compliance issues.
Now the hard part, enforcement. What does that look like?
Certainly, the hard part is enforcement, but it's one of those difficulties that does have a solution. That solution is primarily through the process of investigation. The Department of Industry and Security, which is the subdivision under the Commerce Department that's responsible for enforcement, does launch investigations into these issues. And some of those investigations have been quite active. The issue is not so much BIS's unwillingness to investigate, but simply a lack of capacity to do so. And so one of the recommendations that me and my co-author made is to end the federal hiring freeze for those particular types of positions in order to increase the number of investigators to crack down on this flow of goods.
And in enforcement, you also have to deal with international rules. You've got one EU, you've got the US, you've got all the Americas countries. All of these things are potentially on the list. So we're looking at a great deal of information has to be gathered. And you need a budget, you need a special office. or are they going to try to do it with what they have now, given that the federal workforce is now in question in general?
I think it's an excellent point. And I something that me and my co-author, Susan, argue for is that so currently the European Union, the United Kingdom, Japan already collaborate on things like the Common High Priority List. So those touch points already exist. The question is how well are they effectively being utilized? And so one of the recommendations we have is for those countries, the EU, Japan, to follow Commerce's lead and adopt a similar type of rule. And so as a result, rather than clearly the need for collaboration is there, but the collaboration should primarily stem from adopting similar parallel policies across a variety of different economies to ensure enforcement rather than leaving it only up to the United States to be the primary enforcer.
I'm speaking with Jack Burnham of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, talking about a new rule from the Trump administration combining the skills of Commerce and Treasury to look at the supply chain into our adversaries, the so-called entity list. There is one particular item that needs to be tracked more than any other. And when we come back, NVIDIA. This is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor.